This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Clock hour here on 96.5 The Fan. Thanks for joining us. Remember, you can go to the YouTube page, like, subscribe. It goes to the top of your screen. Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all of it's there. Beautiful faces for you on this beautiful Friday. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there.
That's
on
right.
Sunday.
Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. Mom, my wife.
That's right.
My mother-in-law.
I was going to say, you better get West Point in there.
Yep. Got to get old Pamela in there. So happy Mother's Day.
Shout out, Pam.
Pam.
Pan? Is it Pan? Pan?
Pam.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, awful announcing, but real quick, just came out with an article about 30 minutes ago. And according to this article, this is what the headline says, Mac. Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, reportedly banned from UNC facility.
Ooh.
Good.
Great. By the school?
It says, quote, there is a deep worry for how detrimental Jordan can be for not just North Carolina, but Bill's legacy.
Oh, wow. The Buffalo Bills now, too.
The course of the past few months, there have been plenty of questions regarding how involved Bill Belichick's girlfriend Jordan Hudson has been with the University of North Carolina football program. Whatever that involvement has been, however, it appears to have come to a crashing halt. On the latest episode of Pablo Torre Finds Out, the show's host reported that Hudson has been banned from the Tar Heels football facility, citing multiple UNC sources. Torrey said that the decision was made by members of the university's administration in the wake of Belichick's viral interview with CBS Sunday morning, which the 24-year-old Hudson interrupted to shut down a question regarding how her and the 73-year-old head coach first met. Two sources of the University of North Carolina tell me that there has been a decision that was made last week by the higher ups inside the athletic department who run colleges. I added that last part, that had hired Bill Belichick to be the highest paid public employee, not just the coach in the state of North Carolina at $10 million a year. And that decision was that Jordan Hudson, she is no longer allowed in the football building. Torrey said, quote, she is not allowed on the football field, quote, don't think you'll be hearing much from Jordan moving forward.
Well, and that's, look, that's the good thing to do, because it's become a distraction for Bill Belichick. It's become a distraction for the University of North Carolina. And I hate to break it to Bill, you don't have as much power at North Carolina as you did in the New England Patriot front office, you know, because there are people at the University of North Carolina who have been there for a while. There's presidents of the university, there's boards of trustees or whatever people, you know, they have on these boards at these universities. And if you're not representing the University of North Carolina in the way that they want to be represented, and let's be honest, North Carolina, very snooty university, right? We all know that. That's a very...
They're proud.
You know, that's a very, you know, Walter Pennington type of university. How do you do, sir? Yes. Right? Like, they're wearing their salmon pants and their loafers with no socks and whatnot. Yes. So that's a very upper crust type university. And if you're bringing in the Clampets to North Carolina, they're going to send you back to North Carolina State or wherever, you know, the Clampets go. So they don't want that at their university. And I can't say that I blame them. I wouldn't want that either. You know, imagine if your university hired a guy like Bill Belichick, and all of a sudden the whole story is about this 24-year-old girl that he's dating and what she's doing and how she's, you know, kind of ruining his legacy and all this kind of stuff. She got to go. And that's a good move by the university. You got to get rid of distractions.
They went on to the article of Pablo Torre's podcast to say that even Bill's family is deeply concerned.
Yeah, I've seen that too. So, yeah.
Yep.
More to come with that story, as it seems to never die.
When is Bill going to resign from North Carolina? Will he write it down too? I resign as HC of UNC, just like he did on a napkin when he quit the Jets.
Maybe he likes this.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like, thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yahoo's picked it up now.
Oh, yeah.
It's hitting.
It's coming. It's coming. I thought it was interesting. We had Ashton Gelati on the show. Great kid. Seems like he's got a really good head on his shoulders. He's determined to do something in the NFL. What that is, we don't know yet. The defensive lineman out of Louisville. But he said Chris Jones is legendary. Can we dissect that for a second?
Yeah.
Because I think, and I don't want to say it's taken for granted, I want to say it's more so hidden in the shadows. Because there's no secret that the Chiefs have hit a generational unicorn in Patrick Mahomes. Some could say a unicorn in Travis Kelce, right? Like, Kelce's one of many great tight ends the NFL has ever seen. Patrick Mahomes is one of a few great quarterbacks we've ever seen in the NFL. Chris Jones should be considered one of the better defensive linemen we've ever seen in the NFL. He's played with the Chiefs his whole career. He's getting ready to have his 10th year here. And I think he's probably the second greatest defensive player in Chiefs history.
Here's what Gelati said.
Obviously, Chris Jones is a legend, and I don't want to like over jump the hand or anything. So I just want to get in there and work, see what I can learn from him. But obviously, I feel like that's a phenomenal person to learn from. Just how many years he has and how dominant he's been for his career. So
he called him a legend. Chris Jones is a legend.
Obviously, Chris Jones is a legend, man.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that Chris Jones has that kind of shade, like where his superstardom has been, is that I don't think, and I don't know, I thought about this on the way here, there may never be someone that can take over the place of Derek Thomas. Right? All the sacks, all the time that he was, the 11-year career he was here, the legacy that he left, everybody knows that. He's one of the greatest Chiefs of all time. But Chris Jones to be second on that list is pretty amazing. And then Mac brings up, you look at the position he plays. Essentially his whole career, he's been battling against Aaron Donald, who is an anomaly at defensive tackle. Maybe the best defensive tackle we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. And Chris Jones, I'm not saying he's the second best defensive tackle we've ever seen, but tough sledding. And I go back to when Justin Houston was in the league getting 20 sacks, and it was like, dude, Justin Houston should be defensive player of the year. And then you're like,
but damn it, J.J. Watt's in the league. Yep. And you're like, 23.5 sacks, 6 touchdowns, 5 fumbles. You're like, yeah, but I mean, Chris Jones is a legend and will go down as one of the greatest Chiefs to ever put on the jersey. And I'm glad that somebody who's coming into this team as a rookie recognizes that. And the first thing they want to do is pick the brain of what they consider a legend, which is Chris Jones. Because you look at this dynasty of this team. We talk about Andy Reid, Brett Veach, Spags, Mahomes, Kelsey. That's 5 names. And we haven't even gotten to Chris Jones.
I know. It really is unbelievable. It's like when you came in and started learning from me, from one legend to the next, right?
But legend, bub.
But I love that he recognizes that. Because a lot of guys come into the league or just into life in general, and they don't understand who's around them. And if you don't understand who's around you and what you can learn from everybody in that room, then you're doing yourself a major disservice. And so Ashton Gelati is like, look, man, Chris Jones is legendary. I can go saddle up next to this guy, and I'm going to learn everything I possibly can. Whether Chris Jones is teaching him or not is beside the point. It's watching the way that Chris Jones works, to watching the way that he watches the film, works out, you know, gets ready for the game. All of that kind of stuff is stuff that Ashton Gelati can take away from Chris Jones by never saying one word to him, just by watching everything that he does. And so when you're coming into a situation like that and you have a guy like Chris Jones and you're a rookie, you damn well better pay attention to what he's doing, because if you're not, you're not giving yourself the best chance to have success, or you're just being very arrogant and already think you're to that level of Chris Jones. And I do think we take Chris Jones for granted, guys, because as you mentioned, who did you mention? Mahomes, Kelsey, Reed, you know, all these guys before we even get to Chris Jones being part of the conversation. And I'll say this, we don't have 3 Super Bowl wins if we don't have Chris Jones. I don't know that we win any of these Super Bowls without Chris Jones, because in every run for a championship, he has made such a key, significant play to flip a game. Like, look at the first Super Bowl that we win, batting down passes, right?
Yep.
That Chris Jones doesn't bat down passes. Mm-hmm. Who knows if Jimmy Garoppolo is able to complete passes late in the game and maybe San Francisco wins that game. The second San Francisco Super Bowl, yes. We saw the defense kind of come alive in that second San Francisco Super Bowl, right? Make plays.
Kind of. He made the biggest play of that Super Bowl win. If he doesn't bat that ball down that Purdy throws, they run the clock out.
It's over. Exactly.
And
right?
That paw of 95. Nope.
So that's 2 Super Bowl wins of the 3 that we have right now with Patrick Mahomes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that's not even getting to the Super Bowl, you know, AFC Championship, sacking right. Joe Burrow, 4th down.
Right, exactly. Some of the big plays that they made even before the Super Bowl. I'm just saying Super Bowls alone,
yeah.
Chris Jones was a menace out there on the field and was a big reason why we've won 3 of those Super Bowls. And so when you say he's the second best player on defense and Derek Thomas is up there, I mean, I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to make the argument that Chris Jones is better than Derek Thomas, because Derek Thomas is like 80 more sacks than Chris Jones at this point in time. But Chris Jones is the reason why this team, and one of the biggest reasons why this team has won these Super Bowls and has been this dynasty. It is Patrick Mahomes, no doubt. But if you don't have Chris Jones doing what he's doing on the defensive side of this football, man, I'll tell you what, we're not winning these Super Bowls.
Yeah, I think he's the most underrated Chief of all time, honestly. I think there's multiple reasons for that position, the era that he's in, the other players that he plays with. But it just feels like, you know, Trip McDuffie's fantastic, but I think, again, positionally, that position's going to get a lot more praise, a lot more highlight. Chris Jones there in the trenches, he's doing a lot of man's work.
Yeah, he really is. And I think we'll appreciate Chris Jones more when he's gone.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's great. He's personality-wise, and then the irony of the whole career. Where did it start?
Yeah, I know. It started at the combine with, you know,
with that hog that slipped out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where it started.
We're talking about Richard Fitz.
And then it's going to
end. Men's wieners.
And you know where Chris Jones fits? He's going to be in Canton one day with a gold jacket.
Yes, he is.
And he'll be in the Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. And he'll bang a drum.
Bang a drum. Yeah. I can't wait for Chris Jones to bang the drum,
oh,
right?
Oh, man. Hot cocoa on the sidelines. Coming up on the other side, Justin Reed
joins the
show.
He's going to be a great retired athlete.
We'll ask Chris Jones, we'll ask Justin Reed the question, what is the legendary status of 195 in Kansas City? Justin Reed joins the show on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan. Got a special guest.
It's our guy Justin Reed here on 96.5 The Fan. How are you, my man? You good?
Oh, man, great. I'm actually in Kansas City right now.
Hell yeah.
But it's a beautiful morning. It's beautiful weather out here today.
It really is. It's awesome. We're great, man. We're doing outstanding.
I'd be better if I was on a golf course,
yeah.
Justin.
Yeah. What do you got the golf tournament coming up?
Hey, I don't disagree with you there. Yeah, I do. The J. Reed Indeed annual golf tournament coming up June 23rd. It's a really a great time. Really well put together. Have some of my celebrity friends, some Chiefs players, maybe some Saints players, players from other organizations, all come as celebrity golfers, and we raise money for a great cause. And it's true to me that all the money raised in the city stays in that city, so every dollar raised here in Kansas City stays in Kansas City for initiatives that we do here.
Well, tell us about that foundation, and now that you're not with the Chiefs anymore, are you still going to continue to do all the great work that you've been doing for the last 4 years here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't know what to expect when I first moved to Kansas City going on 4 years ago. But since being here, I fell in love with this place. People here, just amazing innovation. I love everything about it. And I'm keeping my house here. I want to continue to build here and presence in the communities. The J. Reed and D. Foundation is going to continue to do the work. We focus on education, specifically in the STEM sector. But we also do health and fitness. Do some stuff with heart health and, you know, making sure the kids stay active. So we have our annual coding camp coming up later this summer, too, our third year of it. And we also do some initiatives with high schools that we partner with them and do some financial literacy and other fun activations.
What made you fall in love with Kansas City like you did to where you want to keep a house here?
I mean, it's just the city. It's the pace of life, honestly. It's a very comfortable pace of life. I love how you can walk in anywhere. Everyone has a friendly face. Conversations are easy. I think it's a great place to raise a family, honestly. And I do have a 3-month-old that now I'm a new father. Yeah. And, you know, I think about those things, too. And I've just fell in love with the city, man. You go to 3 straight Super Bowls with the place, too. You're going to create some memories.
No, yeah, no question about it. I'm sure that helps. Like, if you were, like, on 3, 4, and 12 teams, you'd probably be like, peace out, right?
Yeah, definitely.
How is fatherhood treating you? Is it good?
I wish I slept a little bit more.
Yeah.
But the mornings are the best. The mornings when she wakes up and she's in the best mood because she's fully rested and just smiling all day. Those are my favorite moments every day.
No doubt. You had a lot of good moments here in Kansas City as a player. You go to a new team in New Orleans. How much of what you learned here do you take with you? I don't know if there's like a code in the NFL where, like, obviously you keep some things, you know, where they were from, but like going to New Orleans, coming from Kansas City, like how do you take some stuff you learned here and, you know, kind of implicate it out there in New Orleans?
Yeah, you're always building. Two of the big things is, number one, it's just culture and knowing what it takes to be a championship quality team. Like, I know what it looks like intimately. And you try and bring that culture and that confidence to the Saints. And, you know what it looks like when it's good. You know what it looks like when it's not good. And, you know, you just be honest and forthright with that, both with the players and with everyone in the organization in the most respectful way possible, because you're in it together to try and build what the success that we've had in Kansas City the last 3 years. And secondly, some things stay in house, but I am trying to lobby to put some of Spags blitzes, honestly, in that defense, because, you know, it's just so fun to create pressures and throw tandem into opposing defenses. So, you know, it's ultimately Coach Staley's defense. But if we can, you know, add a couple more cover zeros in there, it'd be a lot of fun.
Do you ever tell him, hey, I remember when you coached in San Diego and I know how we played against you guys, and this were some of the things we were able to expose in your defense, so do it my way and we'll win?
No. It never comes out that way. And, you know, he's a defensive guy, so he would, like, that doesn't really cross as much. But they do try, and what I do really like about him is he does try and fit the defense around the talents of his players. So we did some cool things with Kansas City with the way that we spun defenses around, and I think that we might use some of that.
How cool is it, though, for you, too, to go home and play for the, you know, where you grew up, basically, you know?
It's a really cool, it's a full circle moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that I ever expected to do. Like, you kind of hope you have a chance to do that when you're a kid, but then you grow up older and then, you know, you're just excited about the opportunity to play in the NFL on any team. And as the journey goes, you just along for the ride and try and maximize every chance. And the opportunity came up, and it's really cool. I got to go to my niece's choir recital a week ago when I was down there. I get to do more things for my family, so I'm a little bit closer. So moments like that are priceless.
What are you trying to accomplish, or what do you want to get accomplished in your first year in New Orleans as a member of that team?
What I always do, I want to be a force multiplier. I don't only want to play really well myself. I want to play at a championship caliber myself. But I want every man next to me to be able to hit their potential. And I want to help them reach what their ceiling is, help them develop, help them see the game faster, help them be more efficient. And when everyone's clicking on all cylinders, that's when you start building a winning football team. So I just want to do my part to be a cog in a wheel, a leader for that defense and that team when it needs me to be one. And, you know, just see how many wins we can stack up.
Do you look at it as a fact that, like, you are kind of a bridge to that next generation as you get kind of older in your career? Do you look at yourself as, like, a teacher and somebody that's always going to give back to the younger guys? Or is it up to them to come pick your brain?
No, it's a give and take. I try and throw, you know, I try and throw out stuff. And the guys who take on to it, you know, I feed them more. But I've been that way my whole life. Like, I've always been somewhat of a teacher by nature. Even when I was a young guy, you know, I had a place to teach when I was a rookie in the NFL. But when I was a rookie, I would go back to my college and teach those DBs things. So just as I've moved up and got a couple more pelts on the wall and a little bit more experience, you're able to just talk to more guys, sometimes across rooms. It's where, you know, I can talk to the linebackers. I can talk to the wide receivers now, being a guy in year eight, and, you know, just give them some advice and some perspective. But I've always thoroughly enjoyed helping the next man, because I think that that's what a team truly is being a team and not just keeping things to yourself. Because at some point, you're going to need that guy that is the reserve. At some point, you're going to need him to step up on the field, and you want everybody to be ready to take advantage of their opportunities.
Yeah, I'm a pretty avid golfer, and that sounds like going out and golf with a guy that's got a really low handicap, but he doesn't necessarily want to be the guy that's like, hey, you're pulling your head, you're hitting the ground first, you're opening up, you're overcorrecting. You want to kind of be the guy that goes to them, and then it's all of a sudden like, hey, feel free to let me know if I'm doing anything wrong, but you'll go pick their brain.
Yeah, like you might slip something in there. It's like, hey, you know, you might be early extending a little bit, and then you let them just figure it out. And if you like, you let them know that you're available for them.
Right.
And hopefully they come back and, you know, ask more questions for you. And at that point, you just start pouring into them.
Yeah. Jay Reed, that kind of gives me a little bit of a segue to my next question. It sounds like you might have a future in coaching. Have you thought about maybe getting into the league and being a coach? Because it seems like the name Reed is pretty profitable,
you know,
in coaching.
I would love to stay close to the game in some way. Right now, especially with a three-month-old, I can't imagine putting in the hours that coaches put in.
No doubt.
I mean, Coach Reed would be in the building 5 a.m. He's not leaving until 11 p.m. Like, he's there. He doesn't even see sunlight. He's there so much game planning. Like, I couldn't imagine doing that right now. But a huge part of me wants to stay close to the game some way, whether that even be like an off-season coach or something in the broadcasting world. I did the broadcasting boot camp put on by the NFL a couple weeks ago.
How was that?
Be fun. I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome. Got to be there with a bunch of guys. Got to have some mock studio reps where we called games from the previous season. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed talking in front of the camera. I enjoyed, like, breaking down the game. So hopefully there's a future there.
Well, anytime you want to come in here and hang out with us, feel free, man. The studio is always open for you to kind of come in and cut your chops in the off season before you have to go down to New Orleans and whatnot, or next off season or whatever you're around. This studio is always open to you, so keep that in mind, okay?
I love that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Hey, all these reps add up.
Yeah, they do. No, you're absolutely right about that. The more you do, the better you're going to get, the more comfortable you're going to feel, the easier it's going to be for you, and the better you're going to be. So anytime you want to come in here and take reps and hang out with us, feel free to do so.
But you're going to have to come to us for pointers. We don't go to you.
Yeah, that's exactly. and more than happy to give you pointers and listen to your tapes and tell you things and do all that kind of stuff, man, because having that success off the field is so important. And obviously you will. I mean, you've done so many great things. You go to Stanford, you got the foundation, you've been a great football, like, you're going to be great off the field. I'm excited to watch, once your career is over, you know, where you end up. And if you remember us little people here in Kansas City, you know.
Yeah, get out of here.
Hey, before we let you get out of here, we had Ashton Gelati on earlier. He was drafted by the Chiefs, number 66 overall, I believe. And he called Chris Jones a legend. And I want to kind of get your take on that. How do you view Chris Jones?
Yeah, he's the most dominant three technique in the NFL. I mean, his resume speaks for itself. We had plays specifically designed for him to wreak havoc and just allow him to just go beat Chris and cause problems. And I talked to other opposing offensive coordinators throughout the league about just how much of a nightmare is game planning for him week in and week out in combination with all the blitzes that Spags is throwing at him. I mean, he's just a special player.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about how great he is, yet kind of underrated by us here in Kansas City, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the number one in his position the past 2 years for a reason. It's him and Aaron Donald. Those guys are just the guy at that position.
No doubt. Hey, Justin, while we got you for a little bit, our producer, Mac Morey, huge fan of yours. He's 26, and he runs routes in the parking lot before Chiefs games. Do you think he could put one on you in the parking lot, or do you think you'd lock him up?
I would keep working at your day job.
And then
we'll see, Justin. We'll see, bro.
And then he's also low key. He's also a huge Celtics fan. Who you got in this series with the Knicks up 2-0?
Actually, I am a big fan of the way that the Celtics carry themselves and the organization that they do. I'm a big fan of the way that they do things. Those guys there are, especially the way that Drew Holiday plays and his mindset and the consistent type of player that he's been. I just love that guy and the way he plays.
All right, before we let you get out of here, let people know how they can get in with the golf tournament, make donations, write checks and everything for your foundation.
Yeah, we love every piece of support that we get. This money, again, stays in Kansas City. It goes to initiatives that we do right here in town, financial literacy, health, fitness, just pouring into the youth. Like I said, I'm a teacher by nature, and we're not an organization that just takes money. We are in the community ourselves. We enjoy doing the work ourselves and having an impact. And a lot of times I try and be there personally. But you can find out more information or donate at jreedindeed.com. That's jreedindeed.com. And you'll be able to see our entire schedule and itinerary there of what's coming up this year in Kansas City.
Hey, man, we appreciate the time. The text line says, let Justin Reed know Kansas City still loves him no matter where you play. And, by the way, Mac just bought your New Orleans jersey, so he's a huge fan as well.
I love it. Appreciate you guys,
dude,
man.
Take care.
Anytime, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to miss that guy.
You see, these are the hardships of winning Super Bowls. You can't keep everybody, right?
It's a business.
I know it is. But
I hate hearing that phrase.
Because of guys like him, right?
Yeah,
he's just a superstar. And the best part about it is he's staying here in Kansas City because we've made him feel welcome. We've made him feel loved. And that's what you want. I get goosebumps thinking about how many athletes just come to Kansas City and they're like, damn, this is a great place to live. Like Tyron still lives here. I mean, people don't want to leave. And obviously you've had the success. If you're on the 2012 team, you know, probably don't want to stick around Kansas City all that much, but you've had the success with the Super Bowls. I mean, I think, and I've worried about this for years because, you know, when Al Fitzmaurice passed away back in December, I looked at that. I went, my gosh, there's not a lot of former Royals or Chiefs that really live here anymore. Like the new guard just goes back to wherever they were before, you know, whether it's Arizona or Florida, tax-free states, all this stuff. Mm. I'm like, we don't have any of these guys really sticking around anymore. And once that kind of, you know, that generation of the 70s and 80s Royals kind of passes away and we're starting to see that with the Chiefs, who's left here in town to do the stuff that you need, right? Alex Gordon's here, and there's a couple of guys that are around, but a lot of the new generation guys that have been part of all this winning with the Royals and the Chiefs, they're not going to call Kansas City home. I don't think a lot of them will because they go back to, you know, wherever it was that they were from before they became members of this team. So guys like Justin Reed that want to call Kansas City home and be here and be kind of a legend in Kansas City, because once he's done playing and if he's living here full time, you know Justin Reed's going to be a hero wherever he goes. We need more of those guys.
Be Fesco and Reed on 96.5 The Fan. You're home. somebody says, oh, sure. It's always open to Jay Reed, but whenever I show up, unannounced, cots are being called.
Who was that from?
From the text line.
Maloney?
Yeah. Does he know the game's at 2:30 on Saturday?
I don't think he cares.
Okay.
Does he know where we're going? Is he going to show up at my house?
Hannah's gonna be like, there's this like really large bald man at the front door with a truck that says, "Where's Mac? Do you owe someone money?"
Did we ever find out what truly happened down there on Metcalf this morning, by the way?
I don't know. Somebody said there was an ATV involvement over,
I just saw an ambulance go by, and it kind of reminded me, like, there were about 30 cops on Metcalf this morning, so if anybody knows.
Yeah, Mac and I went through it. Let's go through it. What are we turning to this weekend, fellas? We got the weekend ahead, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We consider Friday the weekend, because for us, our weekend starts at, wait, the boss is in your weekend? We have 9:58.
Oh, I'm out of here at 9:58 today. I got a lot to shoe in before 3 o'clock today, so let me, so we got to get, but we may end the show early today, okay. About 9:30. Let's turn it over to Binkley. I got to get a workout in today, then I'm meeting some folks actually over in Lee's Summit for a lunch today.
Where are you going?
Red Door Grill.
Okay, you're right up prior.
Yeah, is everything off that one exit in Lee's Summit?
It is now. That's the streets of West Prior, boy. Coming into my neighborhood, streets of West Prior. That's where Cava is, yes. 30 Hop is.
Cava is so good,
Cava's
man.
Awesome. All that's over there.
Cava's
Starbucks.
Awesome. So basically, they just put everything in one area. Smart.
Twisted Fresh is over there.
Twisted Fresh is legit, too, man.
Yeah, I still got to get Twisted. Market.
Yeah, you got to get Twisted. I got to get Twisted. They put cheese in between the taco shells.
Did you like the tacos? Well, we could order those tomorrow. We may have to order those tomorrow.
I love it.
Yeah, have Twisted Fresh tacos. Oh,
those
my God.
Money, dude.
Yeah, they really are.
If
they're
you
fantastic.
Want to sponsor the Out of Left Field question, Twisted Taco, Twisted Fresh, please feel free.
Yeah.
They give you three in a thing. By the time you're in it, you got a little taco salad at the bottom of the. Oh, it's money. And they serve cocktails.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. The place is legit, man. They do a great
wine.
Job.
You can get wine and tacos.
Oh, Hannah will love
you know
it.
What?
Great.
That may be on the Missouri side only, though.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember seeing that on the Kansas side.
Can't get twisted
now,
on the Kansas
side. Now, Kansas is very, you can't smoke weed or drink wine with your tacos. But you can have baseball and football right in your own backyard soon, so that'll be worth it. What I'm getting at.
So you got lunch.
Yeah, so I got that, and then I was told today my daughter needs to be a chicken and pickle at this time, and we have to take her to this party after that.
Place.
Or it's great. Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful time.
Yeah, I've yet to go, but I've heard it's awesome.
I could turn up at
chicken and pickle.
Great food.
Okay.
Outdoor. This is like prime chicken and pickle season.
Yeah, it's nice.
You don't
that's
have
time
to
just
pickleball it. You can do bags.
Yes.
I think they call it cornhole.
Cornhole. Yeah.
You can do that. You can do like ladder golf. You could do, if you really want to do, we could do beer dye.
Ladder golf. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or in the wintertime, they put the ice rink out. You go out there and skate around a little bit, have some fun.
Really?
I didn't know they did. That's kind of nice.
That's cool.
Yep.
Okay.
What are you doing this weekend, turning two wise? Getting a grill with Maloney?
Getting a grill. Hopefully. Not being upset at like 5 p.m. tomorrow afternoon.
Don't be upset. Don't let sports ruin your day.
I know. I've had many a conversation about this. I've gotten better over time, but I'm still progressing
The older you get, you will realize, I'm not going to let this ruin my day. Unless it's the Chiefs, then you can let it ruin everything.
Football
for me at 48 years old, Mondays blow when they don't win, man.
Yeah. No,
it
that's
sucks.
Still bad.
Yeah.
The day after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That was awful.
That was terrible.
You gotta walk the streets in New Orleans, go to a place you've never been to, into a room that was 4x8.
That was terrible.
It's 4 a.m. They're still screaming, E.A. Jim, get me out.
All morning, I looked to my left, I could see the outline of Bob's wiener. It's all tucked in a corner, like these like spandex pants on. I'm like, is that the only way you can sit?
Lovely.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah, there was no other way to sit in that room. up against a thing.
But after the Knicks game, I'm going to Johnny's Tavern with some friends. Sing some karaoke, hang out.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah, I'll sing.
Are you going to sing Hi, My Name Is, like Cody Tapp did in Springfield?
I might sing Feeling This. By Blink.
Okay. You have to have a second singer.
No, I can do both. Do it in my car all the time.
Faithful, short, so lost in disillusion.
You got to bring something that people are going to know and sing with, dude.
Oh, Feeling This, they'll know. But either that or I Miss You, Mr. Brightside.
Is a good karaoke song.
I've got a repertoire. I've got a Rolodex.
There you go.
Can you give me a little Mr. Brightside right now?
Nah, we're good.
No, give me a little. Give me it.
Jealousy.
Okay.
See, I was hoping you would start from the beginning. Coming out of the cage and I'm feeling just fine.
I gotta be down because I want it all.
Oh, my. Sorry I did that, Dusty.
Thank you for that. Somebody says, man, I was having such a good morning on the text line. Max getting fitted for a grill. Is he going to full Paul Wall on us or what? Yeah, you're like that Alabama rapper or Arkansas rapper.
Yeah, that's it.
Turn it to, it's pretty easy. Friend time on Saturday, family time on Sunday. Knock it all out. Should be a good time. So we'll be good. We'll have a good time. And it'll be a fun weekend for everybody to be had. Weather's going to be great. Royals, Red Sox. The weekend before the PGA Championship. So you get a little bit of golf information for you. Hannah coming on Saturday or no?
No, I don't think so.
She's got to get away from this Boston.
Yeah,
Celtics
exactly. Yeah, she's had enough this week.
Oh man. All right.
I mean, the Jordan Hicks story or Hudson story, whatever her name is.
Yeah. We should get into that.
Oh my God! It is that. You know who got it now? Guess who's on it?
Schefter.
Florio.
Oh, yeah. I knew it. We'll get into that around 9 o'clock. But coming up, hey, Mac, he's started his movies of the week or movies of the month, however you want to do it, for the summer and the spring. His first one was American Pie. Mac's review of American Pie on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Guys, which is going to be a better day on X? Yesterday with the Pope being announced, or today with Jordan Hudson being banned from North Carolina?
I mean,
I just think there's too much material with the Pope.
There really is, right? Yeah. I don't think yesterday was fun. Today could get ugly.
Today, yes.
Yeah, it's all over. FanDuel just literally has a graphic of them two at like a event, the NFL Honors event, and it just says Jordan Hudson banned in all caps. Florio banned. Jordan Hudson no longer in the Tar Heels facility.
The Florio tweet,
dude, it's everywhere. Bleacher Report.
Oh, it's the only thing that's on the internet right
apparently
now.
Bands do not make her dance.
So this is Florio's tweet. North Carolina reportedly has banned Jordan Hudson (parentheses girlfriend / handler / publicist list of coach Bill Belichick) from the Tar Heel football facility.
According to Belichick's family member, there is a deep worry for how detrimental Jordan can be for not just North Carolina, but Bill's legacy, reputation,
yep,
everything he has. Banned. Everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, even the Pope said he's banned now, too, or she's banned.
If I was his family, I'd be a little bit more worried about him rather than his legacy, but I understand all of it.
Are you worried because you think there may be something wrong?
Like he's getting taken advantage of?
I think he's being taken advantage of. I don't think he's not well in the mind. I just think...
Then how... And I'm asking because I don't know. If he's well in the mind, how is he being taken advantage of? Or is he just 74 dating a 24-year-old and life's good, you know?
Yep, could be. That's true.
Because there are a lot of people who get to a certain age, they have their midlife crisis or whatever it is, right? We see it all the time. And we don't like it because it's different, right? Like a 74-year-old dating a 24-year-old, it's creepy. There's no other way around it. There's no other way to say it.
It's weird.
It's creepy. So we all think it's creepy. But what if he really does love her? And what if he's having a good time? Like,
it's true.
How do we know what's going on in that relationship?
We're not talking about it. That's how I know.
That was a red flag.
That's how I know.
Oh, her saying that.
Her saying,
if you two are truly in love, don't you want people to know your love story?
Yeah, you
like,
do.
Mac, if you were to come out
and baby, say
whatever, and be like, you know, and I went up to you guys like, hey, Hannah, how'd you and Mac meet? We're not talking about it. I'd be like, Mac, hey,
that's, well,
yeah, we got to talk about that anyway,
normally,
though. That's a side conversation.
You know, normally an open, happy relationship, even if they want to give you all of the details, like say they met on Tinder, they might tell you like, we met on a date. We got together on a date. We had a good first date. It blossomed, and now here we
are. What if they met on farmersonly.com?
No chance.
No?
Probably not.
No.
Why do people still go, like, they're kind of, I don't want to use the term, maybe it is a shame, oh, we met on Tinder. Like, why is that still kind of like...
Because we live in a society where everybody labels everybody.
Yeah, I know. And that's what we're doing, though, with Belichick and Jordan Hudson. While it's weird and it's strange for the norms, maybe this is... That's what he wants, you know, and people, I don't like when people say they're worried about somebody when that person themselves may not be worried about it. Like if he has dementia, and let's just use that as a conversation point here, right?
Yeah.
If he had dementia, then I could see people being upset and worried that she's taking advantage of him. If he's in full body and mind and everything, I feel like the kids may be just worried about their inheritance more than they're worried about their dad.
Yeah. Yep. Could see that.
And their dad's, you know, life as well. I mean, like, inheritance, yes, but also, like, that's our dad. Like, we got to make sure he's fine. He's doing what
but
he wants.
But don't you go to him and go, hey, like, if I'm Steve Belichick, who they didn't want to know people was his son, but he is the defensive coordinator down there at North Carolina.
He's the one that does that weird tongue thing.
Yeah. That tongue.
Not the one from American Pie.
Or, we'll get to that in a second. Or if I'm his daughter, right, I would call him and say, hey, dad,
you all right? Everything good? Have a conversation. Go visit him. Find out if things are okay. If you sense he's a little off, then we got an issue. But if he goes, I'm having a time of my life.
We also know that this isn't her first elderly man.
Nope.
So there's another.
Oh, it isn't?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, she's dated a 64-year-old before.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
I was today when I learned that.
Yeah, TIL, Reddit. You got to get into Reddit, man.
Oh, my. Who is the 64-year-old?
Some, like, CEO.
Too young for her?
Another rich guy.
Another rich guy.
Oh, I didn't realize that changes a lot of stuff. Yeah.
So I thought we were all
I didn't know that. That changes everything.
Okay. He's a pro.
Yeah. Strike everything from the record.
Yeah. Clean the rundown.
What's the word I'm looking for?
She's a repeat offender.
Not a hypocrite. Habitual.
Yes. Habitual.
Finish. So she's a habitual old man dater.
Mm-hmm.
You think she's ever raw dogged it on a flight? She's in that generation where they're raw dogging on flights now.
Staying off of her phone. Yahoo. Banned.
Banned.
All right. Speaking of bands, you watched American Pie for the first time.
Yes.
What score out of 10?
Okay. I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Here's where he tells us our movies stink, Dusty.
No, the exact opposite of that. For what that movie is, and that's what I'm going to rate it on, that's a 10.
Yeah.
For what that movie is trying to be, it's a 10.
Imagine watching that movie as an 18-year-old boy.
Dude, I was thinking, I was like, dude, I wish I would have watched that 10 years ago when I was 16. That would have been like the best moment that ever
come out.
1999, so the year after I was born.
So it came out the year I graduated college.
What'd you just say?
Yeah, year after I was born. Yeah.
So 99, that summer of 99, which is right about now, I moved to Texas when that movie came out.
I was 12.
Yeah.
And I was 22. You were 12. You were...
Two.
Speaking of an ounce, but I mean, like you were very, very like a neophyte, right? Like you were not existed on the planet, basically in '99.
That's wild. So, anyways, let's get into it. What'd you like? What'd you think about the movie? Gave it a 10
for what it's trying to be. For what it's trying to be. If you want me to rate it as
a score, what would you?
If you want me to rate it as a movie, it's a 6.5.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
It's comedy.
It's a comedy.
See, for me, it's a perfect 10.
Yeah. For what it, for I'm trying to think of the right word. Like, and just not comedy, but like
raunchy.
Raunchy, but
no, but it's like, a coming of age movie.
Yeah, like a coming of age type comedy. Yeah, like it's perfect.
It
does everything
at
once.
House.
Dude, and then like the music in it, like obviously there's
Blink-182. I told you it's a great soundtrack, right?
Great soundtrack. Yeah. I was just like, dude, this is awesome for what it's doing. The Blink scene, the bedroom with Nadia, that whole fiasco was hilarious. I think the apple pie scene, I think I have to rate that in the top three. I think that's, I don't know, you can tell me, is that the most iconic?
I mean, the cover
top
of the
three, what?
The cover of the movie like is from all the kids.
Oh, that movie.
The cover of the movie was all the kids in the corner. Michelle holding her flute, and then a picture of a pie that's been mutilated.
I mean, the name of the show is American Pie, so I would imagine that's probably an iconic scene in that movie.
Take a back seat, Don McLean.
Yeah.
But and then
the flute stuff is
Michelle,
great, too.
Yes.
One time at band camp?
One time at band camp.
So now you get that, right?
Yes. Yeah. One time at band camp, that was great. I thought she was awesome. I loved her character.
Yeah.
She
great
was awesome.
Character.
Yeah, great character, because she's like...
Oh, Michelle's dope.
Yeah, because she's like annoying, but she's also like super adorable and cute and awesome and...
And she's
Reed,
hot in real
and
life.
She's hot.
Tara Reid or Stifler's mom?
I think Tara Reid, but it's close.
Okay.
Also, Stifler, favorite character.
Yeah. Bade the Stiffmeister.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of makes me want to watch the other ones. I don't know if they get bad.
The second one's good.
The second one wasn't bad.
So there's like a million of them, right?
Nah, then they all get into like, they get to like fraternities. It gets like really bad, but American Pie 2 is pretty good.
Yeah, 2 is pretty good, but nothing ever beats that first one.
Because,
like Anchorman, did you see Anchorman?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anchorman 2 was a total dud.
Yeah.
Caddyshack 2 is the worst sequel of all time. You have these great movies and then they try to quickly do a... Yeah. Jerry, and then they tried to make him good, and it's just not can't capture
again. Yeah, you're trying to redo something that was already.
Makes it was different when Jerry said his brioche of the week was strawberry pie.
Yes, dude.
So now you understand, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anselmo likes that strawberry pie.
Oh man, yeah, that's great, man.
It was awesome.
Yeah, the Blink scene's great.
Blink scene's great. Mark's like says something funny when the camera gets covered up. I'm like, it's actually pretty good timing.
I may go back and watch it too.
So the some hidden cuts of that movie. That was the last day of filming that Blink was on set.
Really?
So everybody was in a good mood, and nobody knew they were going to be on set.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. At the peak of their powers,
yeah,
too.
And then Thomas something, the guy that plays the one that's like Tara Reid's boyfriend who sucks in the movie, the worst character of the whole movie.
Gotcha.
Like, oh, yeah, that guy does suck.
And he's in a band, and he's still friends with Mark Hoppus, the bassist of Blink-182.
That's dope.
So, like, it's crazy. Yeah, that album's great. Harvey Danger's on that album. Blink-182's on that album. That movie's great.
I mean, you said it's your Animal House, and the more you said that, and I listened to what you guys were saying here for a second, Animal House is kind of the same thing. Great cast, awesome movie, great soundtrack.
Yeah.
And iconic moments. Did you see Animal House?
Feel good.
No.
Yeah, I didn't watch Animal House. I was probably 26. Like, my dad was like, you got to watch it.
You have to watch Animal House. You just do. And you'll understand the Germans bombing Pearl Harbor. And every time we say that, how mad the text line gets. And then you know they haven't seen the movie. It's so good.
Maybe we put a poll together on Twitter. You guys choose four movies, and we'll put a poll and let the listeners decide.
You have Thursday to watch it.
Yep.
Wednesday. We'd be able to fit that in on Thursday.
Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, I'll have Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay. I will say this. I would love for your next movie to be Varsity Blues.
Okay. Put it on
I think Animal House should be your next movie.
Well, there's two suggestions right there.
I don't think you'll like Animal House as much as like maybe we do, but I think you'll get it.
Just because of the time or?
Yeah, just it's, I don't know.
Dated or?
I didn't find it as funny as my dad found it as funny. Whereas, like, I feel like you won't find it as much as I found it as funny.
That makes me curious, though.
Porky's is good in that generation.
Porky's is fantastic, too. You should watch Porky's. Revenge of the Nerds. You should watch all the John Hughes movies, too. 16 Candles, Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club, I've seen. Love Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Anything that John Hughes did in the 80s in Chicago is fantastic, because that's basically where Chicago has stopped. You know, the 80s is their glory years.
Well, now it's the 20s.
Now with the Pope and everything, but everything was going back to the glory years of the 85 Bears and Jordan.
What was your favorite scene, the choir scene?
That was one of them, yeah, because I love Stifler's line. I don't know, can I say that?
Do it.
When like he comes back to Stifler, he's like, oh man, I thought you did great. He's like, then Stifler's like, I think you need your balls reattached.
Awesome. I thought the Ostrikers girl was the best one in the movie. I loved her. But I go back to American Beauty in that scene. Have you seen American Beauty? Throw that on the list.
Okay, throw it on the list.
It's back when I think Kevin Spacey was okay. Coming was up on the other side. Okay? No. We get into the Richard of the Week. It is brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part, zero bubbles. Coming up next, it's Richard of the Week on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.